Welcome to the BioShock Podcast. I'm Elizabeth Toby, Community Manager at 2K, and I'm here with Ken Levine, Creative Director of Irrational Games. Today we're going to be talking about the Little Sisters and their evolution in BioShock, and their role in the world of Rapture. Hey Ken, it's good to have you here with us today.
Hey Elizabeth, how are you?
Good. So how about you tell me a little bit more about the Little Sisters? What was their original concept, and how did they change into being what they are today?
Well, what's interesting about BioShock and the Little Sisters is that they were always there sort of conceptually from a game design standpoint, but they weren't there originally from a story standpoint. Originally, one of the first notions we had when we started working on BioShock is that we wanted to do something different with AI that people hadn't done. We had just done a game called SWAT 4, and we sort of had done the standard AI, cool AI things of like AIs who run for cover, AIs who work together, AIs who outflank you. And that was very challenging, and our lead AI programmer, John Abercrombie, did a great job on that. But we didn't really want to do that again. And so we started thinking about what is new to do in AI besides those sort of standard things that you see in shooters. And one of the things that sort of struck me watching a nature show one night is the, you know, one of these shows you watch where in Africa where they have lions, you know, stalking the wildebeests. And you don't have to, you know, be a rocket scientist to understand the visual, you know, when you see that, the relationship between those two entities, the hunter and the hunted. And I started thinking about what if we had sort of AIs who had that relationship in a game, and how would the player impact on that? And then the next step was, what if we had another AI who, you know, think of the soldier ant, who protected the defenseless, resource gatherer type character. And it sort of went from there. And originally, the Little Sisters, they evolved. The Big Daddy sort of came into being. But then we started thinking about not just building up a sort of a utilitarian relationship between these two characters, but what if they actually had an emotional relationship? And that's something that nobody had ever done in a shooter. And one of the most natural relationships, again, is one relationship that people could look at that we didn't have to explain, that we didn't say, oh, now that's Jim, and that's Mary, and she's a botanist, and he's an accountant, and their marriage is very complicated. You know, we wanted to be something that people could look at and be like, oh, I get that, I see what that is. That's sort of a twisted father daughter relationship, a protective parent child relationship, and to have that, we needed the defenseless one, which is obviously something that appears to be childlike, and the Big Daddy, which is obviously this, this hyper-realized father figure, stern father figure. And what was great about it is once we put that in the game, where we had sort of like various concepts for this gatherer AI type before, this harvester AI type, where they were kind of an insect at one point. Once you put them in the game, and saw their relationship, you immediately understood not from their story relationship what their gameplay relationship was. And then once we had that, we started thinking about like, well, what kind of world would put children into service like this? And some of the notions of BioShock came from that, because we had this gameplay concept. And then we are thinking about, well, how would this happen? You know, why would there be little girls walking around the world harvesting this material? Like, how would you get from A to B?
So, what exactly are the Little Sisters? Are they human?
Well, that's a question the game is going to answer, and I'm not going to answer.
Now, children in danger is a subject that brings up a very emotional response to people, and to focus on only having little sisters in the forefront of danger in the game, are you trying to push people's buttons and make a controversy? What's your reasoning behind choosing to only use little sisters as opposed to little boys or any other type of person to do this role in the world of Rapture?
Well, I guess it's probably not more controversial to have somebody who may or may not be a little girl versus somebody who may not be a little boy to be in a position where they might be exploited by the environment. That seems equally potentially, you know, challenging to people. So I guess the real question here is, you know, were we seeking controversy by creating a scenario where you have mixed feelings, or at very least very, very mixed feelings about what's going on in this world, and instead of a world where there's the terrorist and the soldiers, you know, and the proud Marines, or the empire and the rebellion, you have a world where things aren't so clear, where the rights and wrongs aren't so clear, that you have two totally characters that you that you have reason to trust, Atlas and Tenenbaum, who both have a point of view on these little girls. And Atlas is telling you, who's been your guide through the early part of the game, that in order to survive, in order for you to survive, for him to survive, for his wife and his little child to survive and get out of Rapture, you're going to need to, you need the atom that these little, the genetic material these little sisters are carrying. And you have Tenenbaum, who says, and furthermore, Atlas says, look, they're not even children. They appear to be little girls, but they're not. They're not. They're no longer children. They've been transformed beyond that. They no longer live in the same way that you know, what you might know to be a child. They have that appearance. They're almost vampiric in that way. And you have Tenenbaum, who say, no, they're little girls, and you have to save them. You have a moral obligation not to harm them, and I'll find a way to reward you if you don't harm them. And Atlas tells you, are you going to listen to this one? Are you going to listen to Tenenbaum? She's the one who created them in the first place. And that's true, because the player can find that out in the world, that Tenenbaum's the one who's created them. So you have this really gray issue. Now, that obviously, when you do a game that has any kind of moral complexity, it's going to push people's buttons, because that's what drives controversial decisions, really, is morality. In a world without morality, there wouldn't be a lot of controversy. But in order for games to engage morality, in order for games to make people think, in order for games to make people not be certain about what they're doing, you have to ask these moral questions, and you have to ask people to make moral judgments, or why aren't we just making Pac-Man?
Now, I guess you've been using the word morality a lot, and you also mentioned that the little sister didn't originate as a little sister. Are you trying to make a connection that the player will have with the little sister in her form?
Well, yeah. I mean, the first thing is that, they make the connection between they see the big daddy and little sister, and that relationship's immediately clear. So from a gameplay perspective, they understand he protects her. And, you know, from the testing we've done, nobody's had any problem seeing that. Even though he's a big palooka in a diving suit and carries his gun around, he doesn't speak any English. He doesn't speak any words. Everybody understands this relationship. You see her sort of get tired and draggy and start to whine, and he sort of goes, and tells her to come along. They have this relationship. They, she mourns him when he dies, or appears to mourn him when he dies. And that relationship is, I think one of the, I would say, certainly it's the most complex relationship, emotional relationship, maybe the only emotional relationship ever made in a first-person shooter, believable emotional relationship. And once we had that gameplay element, I said, well, we can't stop there. We have to then ask the next question is, what does it mean to, if she was an insect or something, there wouldn't be a moral component to the question of is she a human, and does she have a right not to be harmed? And with a little sister, though, that question, of course, comes immediately to the fore. And what most usually causes most people to do things that are morally questionable is need, and or perceived need. And what we're saying to the player is, look, you come to this world, and it's a dark, horrible place. Obviously, Rapture has fallen into the depths, both, literally and morally. And, what are you going to do when your back's against the wall, when it's your life on the line? What kind of moral choices are you going to make? And I think it's really easy to sit back from where we are and look around people who make difficult moral decisions. But I think what the role of, quote, literature is in games and media and movies is to give us a place where we can ask these questions, where there aren't stakes, real lives at stake, but to ask these questions to people and make them think about these issues. And, Bioshock, besides being, this awesome first-person shooter and this great game and this great experience, like a lot of, I think, great pieces of film or literature, whether it's The Godfather or a movie like Schindler's List or The Brothers Karamazov, and anything, and I'm not comparing it in terms of quality, but in terms of to the questions of, does art have a role to ask questions, to make people, to challenge people, and not just tell them, here are the white hats and here are the black hats, but, who do you think the white hat is? Who do you think the black hat is? And is there a black hat and a white hat, or are there just gray hats? And games, I think, have the right to do that. And anybody who says they don't, I think is just condemning us to a ghetto of constantly making games where you have the, you know, the terrorists and the Marines, or you have the Empire and the Rebellion, and I think we deserve more than that, and I think our audience deserves more than that.
Now, I guess this brings me on to my next topic. You've talked a lot about the choice to either harvest or rescue the little sisters, but from your description, are you concerned about allowing a player to harvest and thusly harm a little sister? Do you think that's appropriate for a video game?
I think that in the same way that it's sort of like asking somebody, you have this character in this movie who does this terrible, terrible thing. I believe movies are vicarious experiences. And if you've never been excited by an action film or brought to tears by a drama or have your heart beat in a romance, you know there is a certain amount of projection that happens in those movies. And just as movies, you know, imagine if you asked a filmmaker, you know, how come you have characters doing terrible things in this movie? How come that man left his wife? You know, how come, you know, whether it's a man leaving his wife or a person torturing somebody, person killing somebody, or a store, keeper ripping off somebody off, any of those times that people do morally unsavory acts in a movie, you understand it's part of the story and part of that, and there is a vicarious relationship to the viewer has to that, whether in a book or a movie. Games just take that vicarious relationship a little more literally in terms of the player being able to make those choices in the game rather than just sort of participating in the emotions of those choices. And I think what will be striking to the player is that they then have to sort of live with those choices, and the choices are not predetermined like they are in a movie. So I think you have to participate in some small degree in that phenomenon. And I think games just take that to another level. Now, I think we have a responsibility to do it tastefully. We have a responsibility to do it to not exploit the elements of the moral decision that don't matter. Like, for instance, in Bioshock, you cannot harm the little sisters in any way. In terms of your weapons have no effect on them. You can't light them on fire or send the insect swarm against them the way you can against, you know, the other AIs in the world. All we allow for the player to do is to make this moral choice of harvesting them, harvesting the atom from them, which a process they will not survive, that's true, or to save them, to turn them back into what appears to be normal little children, and that choice is not graphically shown in any way. That choice is really sort of suggested. It is just provides the player enough information to know the consequences of his choice and no more. And that's very important to us. And we sort of went back and forth a lot on this issue to make sure that we were handling it with the responsibility and the seriousness and the respect that a game that takes on these issues, I think, demands of the developer, that they not do it in an exploitative fashion, but they just do it to say, here's the moral choice we want to highlight, and here's the information the player needs to know to make that moral choice and understand the consequences of that moral choice.
Now, this is probably the first time you've really talked in depth about the choice the player has and the interaction the player has with the little sisters. And there has been some speculation among media and on forums that you can just go around shooting little sisters indiscriminately. Are you worried about people dismissing this game as that FPS where you can kill little sisters, or on the flip side, that people will be disappointed in the way that you actually interact with the little sisters in the game?
Yeah, well, I may have mentioned this before, but you cannot... The only negative interface you have with the little sisters is the choice of saving them or harvesting them. You can't shoot them, you can't... Nothing the player does damages them in any way outside of the harvest choice, because to us that's not what we were interested in going exploring, because it was not necessary to elucidate the choice that we were asking the player to make. And anything that would provide a prurient experience in relation to little sisters, A, we thought was inappropriate, and B, we had no interest in doing, because it's not what this game is about. So the question is that I'm very confident that we've spent a lot of time sort of going, you know, soul searching on this, and making sure that we were presenting things responsibly, because that's the key to me. Not that, that the game maker shouldn't be allowed to examine moral choices, but I think we have a responsibility to do it in a informed and a sensitive manner, and mostly important, enough of the challenging material should be told in the way that that supports the story and the moral choices we're talking about, and nothing beyond that. In terms of the people being disappointed, well, you know, that's I don't think it's a disappointing element not to have those things. I think that I'm interested in a video game and, you know, shooting monsters, and it doesn't interest me at all to do that, and I'm not sure why somebody would be interested in that. Because it's not about pointing a gun at a child or what appears to be a child. It's about the larger moral choice going on and just asking that question, and all that other stuff had no part in that.
Now, in the Exo 6 trailer, you, at the end, or I think it's in the middle, see a player approach a little sister with a wrench, which gave a lot of people the impression that you could do harm to the little sister with that wrench. Did something change in the production of this game, either with the publisher or public pressure to tone down this feature of how you can interact with the little sister?
Well, one thing that's great about the relationship we have with the publisher is how supportive they've been of this right from the start. Because when we first came up with this concept, of course it raised some eyebrows at the publisher. Naturally it would. But when we talked about what we were trying to do, and when I talked to Greg Gobi about it, the executive there, he immediately understood how important this was to telling this moral story and this story of the world of Rapture. Because you're talking about a world where the economic reins are off, the constraints are off. And one of the questions, you know, you want to ask is, you know, sort of the yin and yang of that is when you remove all moral, all economic constraints from a society, what does that have an impact on the moral constraints and the little sisters, you know, whether you look at, you know, globalization, you know, in our world, or the little sisters in the world of BioShock. And, you know, again, our goal here is not to come down. This is not a polemic. This is not an idea of to come down on any one side of the issue. It's to sort of put the player, like all good fiction does, put the player in the shoes of the actors, the moral actors in the world, and say, you know, what would you do? And one thing that's interesting about the Exo-6 video is if you look at the guy and the clothes he's wearing, that is not necessarily the player. It never was. That's potentially one of our splicers in the world, because he's got this 1940s period of clothes, and of course the game starts in the 60s. And again, I'm not sort of saying, oh, that's not the player, don't worry about it. But what I'm saying is I don't think it's a clear interpretation of exactly who that is. And frankly, as the writer of that thing, I'm not exactly sure who that is, because all the people in Rapture have that moral choice to make. And when you come to Rapture, you inherit that very dark choice. And there are obviously people in Rapture who have made their choices regarding that situation. And the Exo 6 video may be illustrating that.
Well, I guess my final question will end on a bit of a lighter note. How about you tell us about the vents that the little sisters go in and out of? Why is this the little sisters' home?
Well, it's not clear that it is their home. Maybe there's a place where the little sisters go to from the vents. Maybe it's a place that you maybe encounter in the game. Maybe there's some mysteries that that BioShock was keeping back from the press, from the PR coverage, until people can actually play the game and sort of experience some of these things for themselves.
Well, I think that you've really given us a lot of detail on the little sisters, and I'm sure there will be more questions to come in the next few months. So I want to thank you for being here.
Thanks for your time, Elizabeth. I appreciate it.